Well, good evening and welcome, everyone. This is Lindsay Kenny, and I'm delighted, sort of, tonight to have my good friend and colleague, Karen Davidson, as our guest. And as you can tell already, it's going to be an informal and hopefully fun interview because Karen and I know each other well. We work together, and we kid each other all the time. So if we can get through this without insulting each other...
Probably not.
It'll be a miracle, but just know that we really like each other, sort of.
No matter what we talk about.
But regardless of what we say about each other, yeah. But Karen, actually, in reality, pretend you're not listening, Karen, has so many credits behind her name, I can't even name them all. I just know personally, I'll tell you a few of them. She is an EFT trainer and trainer of trainers, as I am, and Ann Adams, we're the only trainer of trainers, to my knowledge, in the U.S. Right, Karen?
I think all the masters are. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
but
I
think we're the only ones doing those trainings. But
we're
Karen,
the only one that's actually doing it. That's
yeah.
True.
Karen also claims to be a certified hypnotherapist, a Reiki master. She is a certified matrix reimprinting trainer in the U.S. And she and I and Pat Carrington co-founded MTT about two or three summers ago, where we were joined at the hip all summer, right, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure that out. So she's the founder of the MTT Association. And she's also co-authored recently some workbooks, EFT level training workbooks with Anne. Is that who you co-authored them with?
Yeah, they're more than workbooks. We started out making workbooks, and then, you know, if you've ever worked with Anne Adams, who's the director of the former EFT Master Program, nothing is simple.
She brings a new definition to anal retentive, huh? And I mean that in a good way.
No, that's a good way. I mean, they're extremely, extremely extensive. And, you know, she also developed the guidelines for the workshops, for EFT workshops with Gary. So talk about particular.
Yeah.
Oh boy, it is. But it's great. The stuff that's in those manuals that Ann and I even talk to each other is now, after all this, is surprising because it was exhaustive.
Well, I know you and I have done a lot of things together along those lines and writing some of the tests and things. And it's so much harder than people realize, and kind of a thankless task because a lot of that does not bring in any income. And yet,
no, it doesn't bring any, and then we're so careful because it's so important.
It is,
you know, when we were doing the MTT Association, you know, it was important that we get this stuff out right, and so that's the insane part.
That's right, and people think that somebody who knows what they're doing is writing those books, and it's people like you and me and Ann Adams. Well, Ann kind of does know. But
she probably knows.
It is fun to do. But I did want to mention, too, along with all that other stuff that Karen does and is involved with, is that she is a I already talked about you being in doing Matrix, and I did Matrix reimprinting with Karen last year and then hosted her in the Bay Area earlier this year doing a Matrix, and then we're going to do another one in October. Well, I'll be doing a abundance course, and you'll be doing Matrix in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah, and you, dear, are and you need to not listen to this, too, because this is probably the only time you'll hear. You are amazing at abundance. I mean, the stories that you have is just, you know, this is probably the only time you'll hear me, like, praise you to, like, God's end of the earth, because you floored me. You are amazing at abundance. And anybody, you know, if they want to know about this stuff, because a lot of times you have blocks to abundance, and, you know, you think, oh, yeah, the secret, and, you know, poor dad, rich dad, and, you know, what's stopping you and stuff like that. You, my dear, you got this down.
Oh, my God. Karen, I'm thinking that you're actually paying me a compliment. It's throwing me so much I'm speechless. What the heck is that about?
Yeah, don't get used to it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I love abundance work. And I used to do right after the movie The Secret, I did The Secret of the Secret workshop, which was really fun. But I did want to mention something about you, and that is I think you're the only person I know and probably the only person there is that has videoed all 29 of the masters, right?
Yeah, I've been 28 of the 29. One in Brazil, I did not. So
okay.
I've been all over the world, and I, you know, with Gary Craig, I videotaped him and Ann Adams. So, and all 28 of the 29 masters. So if I don't know EFT by now, there's probably something wrong.
Well,
with
you don't know it that well. I mean, come on, tap, tap, tap. Her website, by the way, is hard to remember. It's called howtotap.com. And then she's got a matrix website as well, which I'll put on my website so you guys don't have to write that down. I'll put all of Karen's contact information on there as well. So what we're going to be talking about tonight with Karen is her take on why the gamut point is so important. And I've heard part of this before. We disagree on a lot of it, but I'm right on most of it, but I'm open to hearing about it. And there are some really valid things about this. The gamut point is important. I do use it, I think, in a different way than Karen. And so that's why I'm interested in this, because I always learn things on this interview that are very helpful, and I want you guys to benefit from it too. So, Karen, give us your take on why the gamut point is so important. And there probably are some new people listening, so explain where the gamut point is and just briefly, and then why it's so important, if you would.
Well, first I want to say, before we do that, is, you know, the funny thing is in a lot of this stuff that we do, this energy work, is you start doing things and you either, you know, instinctively know something or intuitively know something, and you start using it, it starts working, and then all this cool stuff, scientific stuff, starts popping up, and it explains why this very cool stuff that you're doing is working.
Yeah.
So when I first started using this, I was led to it in a very strange way, and I'll go into a little bit about that. But and then I found out later on why this stuff works. And you know, Gary had the 9 gamut point procedure. Everybody calls it the 9 gamut point. It's not the 9 gamut point. It's the gamut point. The 9 gamut point procedure was really a procedure, you know, with the eyes closed, eyes open, singing the song and humming and counting. And that's the whole 9 gamut procedure. The gamut point is actually a specific point on the meridian that's called triple warmer. And I always want to say the triple warmer. No, it's called triple warmer. And where that is it's if you take your ring finger and your little baby finger and you go on the back of your palm, not on the front of your palm, but the back of your hand, there's this little indentation between the two bones. And if you just use all your fingers, because that way you don't have to figure it out, and just, you know, lightly tap in the middle of those two bones between your ring finger and your little finger, that's where the gamut point is. And you can press on it. You don't have to tap. It's just about stimulating, as people know. So that's where the gamut point is, and it's on the triple warmer. I'm sorry, on triple warmer. I still do it myself. And so what I found out, I guess we're going to kind of sort of go backwards. First, let me tell you what the gamut point does. And I looked up in the book Chinese Traditional Herbal Medicine, and it says the functions of triple warmer, that's the meridian, control all the transformations of qi in the body, ensuring their coordination and unity. And triple warmer is relating to sustaining habits. It actually fights the change. It can undermine changes, even positive changes. But if you press or rub on the gamut point, it lessens the resistance. So what the heck does that mean? That just means that at the reason we tap on the gamut point and at the end of a session, or when things are starting to clear up when we use regular EFT, the gamut point is the triple warmer meridian is going, not sure if this is good or not. Let me make sure. And you just tap on it just like in regular EFT when we're tapping on points to push through and break that clog. You tap on the gamut point, and it'll push through the ability to accept change so that you can accept change. So that's what's good about it. So at the end of every session, we should be tapping on the gamut point to allow it to accept these changes that we did in the session, and I'll go more into that.
Well, Karen, now I do something along that line is to explain how this is different than what you're talking about. When the number is down to a 1 or less, and sometimes even when it's at a 0, then I'll still do the gamut and the gamut point, but I do the whole procedure, the eye roll and everything, and just to make sure that we've integrated the right and left hemispheres of the brain, and it seems to solidify the issue. And so when they before say, yeah, it's clear, and you can just hear a little question, and they're saying, I think it's gone because it's so low they can't measure it, but there's some residual of it. I do the gamut point, the 9 gamut procedure, and then they go, oh, okay, yeah, I felt that. That shifted. That fixed it.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it, as long as you use it at the end of a session to solidify, and one of my students called it insurance. And you know what the heck, you might as well do the insurance so it's gonna stick. Any way you want to use it, I even use Sandy Radomski's little the procedure, which is there are parts of me that have been healed by this, the parts of me that haven't been healed are willing to learn from the parts that have. And those unhealed parts are receiving the information now. The information transfer is complete. I'm grateful and thank you.
Are you doing the gamut point while you're saying that?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's a good combination.
It's a really, by using the ask and receive words while tapping the gamut point at the end of a session, it works really well. You know, and since it's not really the true the ask and receive procedure from Sandy, I've asked her, is it okay that I've taken your words? And she said, go for it, girl. So,
Say it again, because it's a pretty simple phrasing, but say it if you can. In fact, let's invite the listeners to tap on that gamut point, too.
Well, I'm going to do this at the end.
Okay.
If you want to do something right now, real quickly, because I want to get into how I found this, and that what led me to the path of knowing how important the gamut point is because I read an article that EFT can be undone. And I've never heard it from anywhere. And like you said, I know 28 of the 29 masters. You know, I do the EFT Masters Worldwide site. I work with Ann Adams, and nobody ever told me this. And I'm like, huh? So I wanted to investigate this. I mean, it could be wrong, so I really wanted to find out. But I'm open to anything. You never know out of the mouth of babes or anything else. So I want to go into how I came to this. But if you want to try it first, that's fine. So everybody just think of something, and here's the key. Think of something that you have worked with EFT on that is completely cleared. And that's the key, because you don't want to tap on the gamma point until you truly think that something, all the aspects, everything is gone, absolutely you're done with it. So think of a past thing that you're so thrilled that EFT worked with and that it's completely and totally done. And then you just tap on the gamma point and you think about that. And I just want you to think of the way, as you're tapping, I just want you to think of what it used to be, what you used to feel. And all those negative things, just keep tapping on the gamut point, all those negative things that you used to think about it and about yourself. And just keep tapping, or you can just press. And then start thinking about the changes that the EFT session did and all the great things that you feel now. And then out loud, just repeat after me. There are parts of me.
There are parts of me.
That have been healed by this work.
That have been healed by this work.
And there are parts of me.
And there are parts of me.
That may still have not been healed.
That may still have not been healed.
And those parts.
And those parts.
Are willing to learn.
Are willing to learn.
From the parts that have been healed.
From the parts that have been healed.
Whether I believe it or not, or feel it or not.
Whether I believe it or not.
My mind, body, and spirit.
My mind, body, and spirit.
Are receiving that information now.
Are receiving that information now.
And that information transfer is complete.
And the information transfer is complete.
Whether I believe it or not or feel it or not.
Whether I believe it or not or feel it or not.
I'm grateful.
I'm grateful.
And thank you.
And thank you.
And just keep tapping and breathe into your nose and out through your mouth. Now, what normally happens is, now I tested this with a few people, of course, before I sent it out to the world, try to make a fool of myself in front of Lindsay Kinney. So I gave it to Pat Carrington. And so what she said is when she does, she uses it, she says she feels that her clients say they feel a secondary release and a sense of peace. Mm-hmm. And I've sent it to other people to do that. And what they do is some people just their shoulders go down or they breathe better or they start crying. And it's just a secondary sense of peace. And what it's doing is the triple warmer is telling the other meridians that this is okay, you can accept this change. There's no danger here. And Donna Eden actually says, pressing or lightly tapping on the gamut point helps lower the resistance to change. So that there are four meridians that sit with the triple warmer, and it calms all of them to accept the change, including the heart.
You know, I'm wondering if I should use use triple warmer for tapping on. That's how I do a reversal neutralization, the whole point is reducing the resistance or eliminating the resistance to change. So I'm going to try that instead of the karate chop for.
Well, your stuff is really good. Well, Lindsay, you know your stuff is really good on the reversal. So just do it at the end. Like just that, you know how you do the gamut, the karate chop, and maybe the last one, they do the gamut.
Let me ask you this, and I know you're going to explain more, but just to be clear, a lot of practitioners or people might work on several issues at a time. They work on one, finish it, and work on another. So do you do it at the end of each issue or at the end of a session?
I absolutely, without a doubt, do it at the end of every session. Mm-hmm. Sometimes sessions are easy and things are like, you know, butterflies and rainbows and, you know, it's working really well and I know I'm going to do it at the end of the session anyway. But if it's something like repetitive or chronic problems that happen over and over and over again, I'll do it after each and every clearing,
mm-hmm.
whichever thing we work on. And in matrix re-imprinting, the cool thing is that you don't have to do it each and every time because during the re-imprinting process, for those of you who know matrix, you put your hand over your heart center, and then you can, if you're on the phone, you take your two fingers and press on the gamut. So it's doing it anyway during the re-imprinting process.
Mm-hmm.
So you are doing it every time you re-imprint. So the answer is sure, do it every time you can, because the more the triple warmer tells, you know, is open to the changes and all the work you've done, the better, because you don't want resistance to all that work you've just done.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, because there is a part of us, even when we clear an issue, there's people always often will say at the end of a session, what if this doesn't last? What if this comes back? And I give them a little, you know, lecture about that, not allowing themselves to worry and fret about it and make it whip back come back, but this would be a great thing to use instead.
Well, you know, it's great. It helps the apex effect. And what we're going to do is there's two ways to use this, and I'm going to go through something that I developed to really make sure that it's worked and EFT can't be undone, and that the changes are accepted by Triple Warmer. And I developed three different processes that you just go over, and it also helps the apex effect, which is, oh, that's not EFT. It's because I've been wanting this for the past 20 years, and I've been to a talk therapist for 15
years. Yeah, right.
Of course it's happened, and it's not EFT because that's impossible that it happened in 20
years. Or they deny that they even had the problem.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that many times. Oh, I'm fine. That's not a problem. Well,
that's not what happened.
Yeah, right.
I didn't come to you, and I don't have this pile of tissues next to me.
Exactly. I've actually had that happen. I know people are going to say, well, can we find this verbiage someplace? So can you provide it so I can put it on my website?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Great. All right, so go ahead.
All right, so here's how I found out. Because when I gave this training for the first time, and I think it was the 2009 EFT Master Program in the UK, and it was the weirdest thing. The people who were in the session were like, why isn't this all over the place? And I said, I don't know. And the people who weren't there, including some EFT masters, were like, yeah, okay. Like, why aren't you guys, what is wrong with the EFT world? What if EFT really can be undone? I mean, nobody's paying attention to this. So I said, you know, fine. If you guys don't want to see that EFT can be undone, I'm just going to find out. I'm going to go down that path. And even if it's incorrect, you know, if I learn something along the way, I learn something along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I read an article by a guy named Grant, who worked with Gary 100 zillion years ago, and he said what happened is one of his clients, now I don't laugh, one of his clients was floating down the river on one of those, like, you know,
inner tubes?
Yes, exactly. No, it wasn't an inner tube. It was like this little group on the little rafting boats.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be for beginners. And she was thinking about how great it was that her little issues, her issues were cleared because of EFT, you know. And she's thinking about her issue, and they hit these rapids. And she truly and completely thought she was going to die. Truly, truly believed. She truly believed she thought she was going to die. And so what happened is when she got to the, and when she didn't die and got through the end of the rapids, they're doing some campsite or something, whatever, and she was like, the issue totally and completely came back. And she had done all the aspects and, you know, everything totally and completely came back, and it was stronger than before.
Hmm.
And I was like, okay, let's keep going. So Grant went into this whole investigative thing on how is that possible. And what he found out was that if you combine two things, if a person is thinking about the core issue, and it seems like it's very narrow, and that's what I thought too until I found out later.
Mm-hmm.
So the very narrow that you have to be thinking about your issue, the event that caused your issue that you cleared,
mm-hmm.
at the same time you truly and totally believe you're going to die.
Huh.
And how is that possible? I mean, how many people are going to be going over a river in a raft? I mean, so I was like, it doesn't seem like that's a much time, but okay, I'll keep reading. And so he says he found out that what you have to do is tap on the gamut point for 3 minutes. Now, and just go over what happened at the end of the total EFT session where everything is cleared, you know that you've gotten all the aspects, you know that everything and totally, completely everything is done. Then you tap on the gamut point for 3 minutes while you focus on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes care of that little tiny seed that sits dormant just in case you happen to be going over a river while you're thinking about your issue. So I thought, you know, this is stupid. I mean, how many people are going to do that? So, you know, but what the heck? I taught it at one of my level three courses about 3 years ago or something like that. And I'm teaching this going, I know that none of you guys are going to be going over a river in rapids, but here's the deal. And somebody raised their hand, and I said, yeah. She said, it's not that uncommon. I said, what do you mean? She said, I've been an EFT practitioner for 9 years, and I was recently been taking hormones for whatever woman reasons. And she says, I was driving in my car, and since I'm an EFT practitioner, I think of my own issues and clients' issues so that I could use them, you know, to help others. And when I was looking out my window, the lines on the road started to converge, and I thought I was going to die. My issues came back.
Hmm.
And then another guy raised his hand with this shock on his face. His name is Dr. Webb. He says, I work with Vietnam, war. And he says, PTSD, every night, what happens? They think about their issues, and they think they're going to die because they're hypervigilant. And he says, no wonder the things come back strong.
Oh, hey, now so it's the thinking that you're going to die,
mm-hmm,
that's the key here.
Mm-hmm. Not that you're actually going to die. It's, mm-hmm, the belief that you're going to die.
Right. Or even a very traumatic event. You mean the words,
right? War veterans are hypervigilant. They're always on the lookout. They're going to think they're going to die. Well, if they happen to be thinking of the issue that was cleared with EFT, at the same time they think they're going to die, it's going to come back stronger.
Well, Karen, that makes sense because, right, especially with that issue with the vets, because you remember, you know that,
yeah, you
Carl
that.
And Karen and Carol Look and several of us worked on that documentary about 3 or 4 years ago with the vets. And
yeah,
I'm telling you, they were clear at the end of 4 days. We tested them every way up and down on everything, some horrific things, and they were clear. And then I just talked to them about 6 months ago, several of the vets, and they seemed to be back in the same place, and I was really miffed. And I said, well, you know, I was trying to explain that because I don't believe that EFT can come back if you truly,
right,
clear it. I can understand this
little...
Lindsay,
I think that's extremely important what you just said. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's my problem. People are not believing that EFT can be undone, and that's why no one's listening.
I think if you phrase it a different way and say our issues can come back under abnormal
certain circumstances,
and here they are. And there may be extended circumstances that we haven't figured out yet. They may have a bad dream or something. You know, how in a dream we could be thinking about something, and who knows what the other circumstances might be.
Things together. It's those, you have to be thinking about the issue or the event that was cleared, and then you have to truly believe you're going to die whether you are or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Dr. Webb was just like, oh, no wonder. And that's when I started realizing that we need to just do this. We just need to tap on the gamut point for 3 minutes. And if you ever tried to tap for someplace for 3 entire minutes, it's forever. So what I did is I developed an really easy way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just think about, I call it the 3 F's. You think about what happened, the facts, the feelings, and then the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you just say the facts. You just tap on the gamut point and say, before this was happening and before I was doing this EFT, I felt like this, and you know, and this happened and my mother did this or whatever it is. And then what happened is I was tapping, and then the facts are that I didn't feel like this, and the feelings are I was thinking this, this, and this, and now I don't. And then you go, and I now choose to, you know, be happy about this and send it out into my field, into my past, into my future, and you really just make it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because tapping for 3 minutes on the gamma point is a long time.
Well, it's one of the reasons I do all of the 9-point procedure stuff, because I usually do it front ways and then backwards, and that's usually 3 minutes, you know, the eye roll and the humming, and that takes about a minute and a half, and if you do it, then you could do just about...
And are they focusing on what you just worked on?
Yeah, we're saying, actually what I have them say is any remaining whatever it might be, any remaining sadness or anger, whatever the issue was.
Okay, see, now that's different, though. Because if there's any remaining anything, that should happen. You should still follow it afterwards with at least Sandy Singh or with a little bit of a review.
Right.
Just
well, I like
bit.
The Sandy Singh. Why could you? Oh, you're doing the gambit while you're saying the ask and receive.
Sandy Singh, right, while you're doing the ask and receive.
Right. So that could take 90 seconds or three minutes. 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's three minutes, a long time. And the thing is you'll know, as a practitioner, you know, because people will, like, sis. You think they're done, and they'll have this secondary, like Pat Carrington says, they'll have this secondary response, which is either release or smile or, and then I have my best story. You want to hear my best story?
Yeah, but wait. Okay. The secondary release thing, if they have that before the end of 3 minutes, do you count it, or is there something magic about the 3 minutes?
3 minutes is what Grant came up with. In my experience now, it's been years. So, no, I don't think I time it anymore. The first time you have to time it because you have to get used to how long it is.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they do the secondary response, you can stop. And you can just, like, finish up.
Okay.
So, yes, if they you see that,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. If it happens in the first minute, I'd still go kind of longer because he's proved it. I mean, he's done studies on it, and it's 3 minutes is what you need to do. So I would not want to not say that until you get used to it. Because
okay.
I've been doing it for, like, 3-4 years now. So
That long?
It is a long time.
Hmm. Well, okay, so now you were about to tell us another story.
Okay, so one of the people that was in this level 3 class that I was telling it to, after following my level 3 class was a matrix reprinting class that Carl Dawson actually was there, and he was teaching, and what happened was there was a demo that was extremely similar. This woman had cancer, and I can say her name, Peggy Mangan, and she wants everybody to know this, and Peggy... she had this issue with her mother, something about tied up in a knife, and her sister, and it's a mess. So this was the core, supposedly the core issue that created, in her opinion, the cancer. And so she worked with another practitioner on this, and Pamela Bruner, actually, and cleared everything, absolutely cleared everything. She believes it stopped her cancer. This is what she says, and everything's wonderful. So she comes to level 3 and matrix re-imprinting, and she sees... She hears this thing about what if EFT cannot be undone, and she, as she's thinking, oh, my goodness, what if my cancer comes back, she watches a demo of this other woman with a very similar event. So she gets re-triggered, and this thing grows back, and it's bigger than more because she's got the two qualifications. I'm thinking about the core event and I have feelings of that I could die. So those two things happen. And so Peggy is in complete and total mania that she's going to die again. And she's in poor Carl Dawson's class, and she asks Carl to go up for a demo. And Carl is, and it comes back stronger, by the way, Lindsay. The issue comes back stronger.
Mm.
So Carl is, like, thinking this is going to be a light demo, and he is working his tail end off to get her through all this stuff. And at this time, the people in my class are turning towards me. I'm in the back of the room, and they're like, do the gamma thing, because she's done, you know, and Carl's trying. It was just insane, and like an hour later, and his demos are usually really quick, because Matrix can be, you know, it's like 10 minutes, and so he finally gets through it. He finally pulls everything down. She gets through it, and everybody starts to go to break, and my class is like pushing me towards her, and I start tapping on her gamma point, and I start doing this thing. With her, it actually took almost 5 minutes. Oh, wow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her tears are streaming down her face. She's white as a sheet. She knows she's going to die. And then the secondary thing happened. She just went, and all the color came back to her face.
Mm.
Everything was fine. And she said, oh, I'm not going to die. And she is free from cancer. And you want to talk about a proponent of tapping the gamut? You talk to Peggy.
Mm. Well, That's interesting. You know, I can see that, and you're probably going to get into this, some of the scientific stuff about the things that happen when we experience trauma and how that affects our body. And if you think you're going to die, whether it's in a dream or you're just driving down the street or floating in an inner tube and you think you're going to die and you make that association, it's not unlike the story that I tell all the time about an associate of mine who had a client who... it's different, but I can see the similarity. A client who found herself at the age of 27 or something, allergic to pistachios, which she swore she had never eaten before, and but she broke out in horrible hives and felt like she was going to die almost eating them, and found out through her mother that when she was, I think, 6 years old, she was in a horrible car accident where her little brother was killed, and she and her, they had all stopped for ice cream at 31 Flavors. They were all eating pistachio ice cream. They got in a wreck, and it was a horrible trauma with her little brother dying, and so her body made the association between the taste or smell of pistachios and that trauma, so that years later, when she ate them again, her body went into some kind of a severe reaction, thinking, I guess, that it was going to die. Do you see the parallel?
Oh, yeah.
And I've got lots of those stories. Same thing when, you know, for years, you and I were talking about people that eat their pets, and how you had to accidentally eat your dear. What?
You've got to explain that one. Now.
Well, yeah. Well, both Karen and I, you know, well, when I was a little kid, I had pet chickens, and we were really poor. And while I was out thinking, hunting for my little pet chickens, Cheepy and Peepy, thinking that they had run away, my mother was cooking them for dinner. And so when I came back home and sat down, and I was crying because I couldn't find my little pets, and Mother said, shut up and eat your chicken noodle soup, I went into a freak out trauma. I did was a smart mouth then, too, and said, well, thank God I didn't have a pony. But
so you were the same then as you are now.
Yeah, right, at six as now. But the thing is, I couldn't smell or eat a chicken, anything, for a long, long time after that. I mean, just the sound of the thought of it, it was a physical, visceral reaction. And so our body does make associations like that, and so surely there's some kind of a tie-in with this. If you're thinking about your issues, even though they're cleared, you could be re-traumatizing yourself if you're thinking about them at the moment when you're experiencing a death confronting situation. And so it's not so much, and this is just my theory off the top of my head, that they come back, is that you're creating them again. You're re-blocking the meridians again by thinking of it when you're going through a traumatic experience.
Hey, it could be. Well, Grant calls it a gene histone is created when a trauma happens, and it's sort of like a seed
mm-hmm.
that stays there, and it just stays dormant. And to get rid of the gene histone, you have to tap on the gamma point. That's just his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Dawson doesn't like that because, you know, it's in the field. So, and then what you're saying is it could recreate it. So all these things are fine. I mean, all
doesn't really matter. We may never know.
It doesn't matter. And that's the funny thing. We do this stuff. We find out how it works and that it solves things. And then, like, years later, we find out things that, like, oh, memory reconsolidation. Every time we access our memories, they're rewritten. And they're just proving that. We in EFT have been doing this for how many years? You know, so you never know. So anything, that absolutely could be why, Lindsay. I mean, that's, you know.
But I get it, because, you know, we started this conversation before we started the recording saying, I said, I don't believe that EFT can be undone. I still
right.
don't like that phrasing, but I can see how you could the seed could grow, or you re-traumatize yourself, or however you rephrase it, and it comes back in some way. I get that. It seems, I guess, just phrasing it the way that it can be undone.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their own filter and their own vocabulary.
Yeah.
And I was just using the vocabulary that Grant McFetridge did, and, you know, maybe that's not the one to use.
Well, that's just the secondary. The important thing is that this could be a really important thing, and you're saying you can't seem to convince people. Well, you get enough advocates like Pat Carrington and I, and we won't have a hard time convincing people. We just start making it part of the process. It's sort of like with my bundling baggage, you know, everybody said you have to be specific about every single issue to work on it one strand at a time, and I said, no, you don't. You can put a lot of similar things together and tap them away. In the same way, Gary challenged Roger Callahan's material and said, you don't have to tap on individual points for individual emotions. You can tap on all of them and clear them that way. So we keep pushing the envelope further and further, or pushing up the glass ceiling, however you want to look at it, and finding out more of this stuff. So you and I, and hopefully the listeners, are open to hearing this. I think it sounds like a simple thing. Tapping on the gamut is pretty important.
All I want people to do is tap on the gamma point at the end of the session.
Pretty easy.
I mean, how easy is that? Tap on the gamma point at the end of the session, and how I say is just do a gamma point review. Here's what we did today. Here's what we used to feel. Here's what we feel now. here's what we went through, here's all, you know, mommy did this, daddy did this, now I here's the positive learning instead, or whatever it is, and you just tap on the gamut point while you're reviewing it. And what I said is it does help the apex effect, which is nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah? Well, review it while you're tapping the gamut point where I used, when I walked in, I was like this, and now I'm leaving and I'm like this. So it helps that as well as taking away that EFT can be, quote, undone, or that there's a possibility that this thing can grow back if you're in a situation, whatever it is. If, like my student said, 3 minutes of insurance.
That's right. I like that. And I got to tell you, I do have clients who come back and say, gee, I think I just undid everything that we just did the other day. And I said, well, that's not possible, but maybe we didn't catch an aspect of it. But I think now about some of those specific cases when they are talking about what happened in the time in between then and now, and it almost always involves a trauma. Now, again, this is just off the cuff here on the fly, but not all of them were death situations, but traumatic things, and they were, there was probably an association there with what they'd gone through, so there's probably something else that might be able to trigger it, because I definitely have had people that did that. We tap on it again, and it goes away, and I've never had it come back the next time, but I never looked at it as that it EFT didn't work, or that it came back, only that we didn't fix it the first time all the way and get it completely cleared. This actually makes more sense.
Actually, it's really funny because Pamela Bruner happened to be in that class with Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had been through my level 3. And going to the matrix re-imprinting class, you know, there's some experienced people in there. And she's like, Karen, they're going to think that I didn't go through all the aspects. And I'm like, no, it was cleared, Pamela. You know, it was cleared. And it's obvious because, you know, you just asked Peggy. Peggy says, my cancer was cured. You know, we can't say that. But she said, my cancer was cured because of this. And the only reason all this stuff came back was not because of what Pamela didn't do. It was because she was, you know, these two
mm-hmm.
weird combinations. And all we had to do is tap the gamut point. I tell you what, Pamela's going to use this for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane when you have a client that goes around going, look, if it wasn't for EFT, you know, her cancer was awful. You know, they gave her like 6 months to live or something like that. And now that's been 3 years or something. And so she's a big proponent of this. And you don't know. I mean, you feel like maybe something wasn't done, but it's not that you didn't. If you're sure that you finished the session and all the aspects are cleared, that's really, if you don't ever use this any other time, use it when you know something's done.
Yeah.
Do that 3 minutes.
Yeah. What can it hurt? I think that's great. I stop actually working on the issue 5 minutes before the end of a session anyway to review things or answer questions or give them homework. I don't tap right up to the last second. So this would be a good way to wrap up an issue, and just seems like it kind of brings it to completion. It's sort of like a curtain call, you know, at the play is over and you're excited about the performance and everybody walks off the stage. You're not quite done. You're still sitting in the audience going, I want a little bit more. And everybody comes out for the curtain call, and then it feels like they're done, an encore, whatever.
That's good.
And that gives you more of a sense of, okay, now it's really over. You're kind of winning me over here, Karen, in spite of my resistance.
Oh, my God.
All right, what else can you...
If I can convince you,
right.
I do want to say one thing, because you brought up trauma, and something that's in Dr. Robert Scarer's book, The Body Bears the Burden,
mm-hmm.
and I just always always have to mention that, you know, a trauma specialist with the last name of Scare.
Yeah.
It's always...
And it's
S-C-A-E-R. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So he says that any negative life event occurring in a state of relative helplessness, a car accident, the sudden death of a loved one, a medical procedure, a significant experience of rejection, can produce the same neurophysiological changes in the brain. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those little things, big T, little T, right? They can produce the same neurophysiological changes in the brain as do combat, rape, or abuse.
So combat what or abuse?
Combat, rape,
oh.
or abuse.
Okay, yeah.
So neurophysiologic, you know, doesn't matter, little t, big T.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
What I'm saying is that people don't, they should realize that they don't have to have, their mommy doesn't throw a knife at them and get thrown in the street or locked in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't have to be those kinds of things that produce trauma, which is also the thing where they feel helpless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they think they're going to die, it doesn't matter how little it is. You know, you can have that half of thinking about your issue and thinking you're going to die.
Well, here's another little possibility there of that. Sometimes, you know, we use the phrase lightly. I thought I was going to die. You know, something awful, traumatic happens. Oh my God, I thought I was going to die. They don't really think they're in fear of losing their life or danger of losing their life, but they are traumatized about something. You know, here's an example. Maria Shriver finds out Arnold Schwarzenegger's not only had an affair, or maybe more than one, but has fathered a child. That would be a shocking, traumatic thing. No life-threatening thing there, nobody chasing her with a knife or going over rapids, but a horrifically shocking betrayal. That could be where somebody said, how did you feel at that moment? She might have said, I thought I was going to die or pass out. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I didn't think of it that way because, I mean, I'm only looking at the current research on what's been done. But sure, what if it's something that's as terrible as I might as well die?
Well, look at all that's going on in the country today, in our country, in the United States, with all of these floods in the Midwest and these hurricanes and tornadoes that to completely rip someone's life out of their hands at the moment, meaning the life as they know it. And one minute they're sitting on their couch with their hand in one hand in their pants and the other one holding a beer watching the soap opera on TV, and the next minute their house is flattened, they're outside going, oh my God, my whole life is turned upside down. The shock of that is the fires that are going on in Arizona. That sudden shift in life has got to be to the people that are involved in it almost as bad as losing their life. They've lost such a big part of their life that trauma, they're not going to die standing in the street watching their house burn, but I can't even imagine the kind of trauma that would be.
Yeah, could that be internally to them something like, I'm going to die, you know, or I might as well die? Absolutely.
Well, and here may be a definition of it, is when their life is altered irreparably from that moment on, and that's only maybe one definition, but, you know, when your house burned down, your spouse dies, or some horrible betrayal that you and I know, we work with that all the time, things that are really big things to people where death, the loss of their own life is not really part of the picture or problem, but it feels like a loss. You know, my dog, we just had to put our dog down last month, and it was terribly traumatic. And people that don't have pets don't understand how awful that was. But there were times in that I thought I was going to die, not in the real sense. It just felt like,
yeah. I mean, why not? I don't know. You know, that's exactly. So, what's 3 minutes at the end of a session?
That's right. That's the whole point.
What's 3 minutes at the end of a session?
Yeah. All right. Tell us more.
I'm just going to go through one more time how you can fill 3 minutes.
Okay.
Because until you actually do it, and I'd like to try to do it.
All right, I have a timer here. Let's do it.
Okay, I have a timer too. So
okay.
I want you to remember something. Everybody remember something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to help you with the last one, the last part of it, and the last minute. So what I want you to do is think of that thing that you've cleared, and start tapping on the gamut point right now. And just think of, I'm starting to time it, think of all the facts, what it was, what it is now. We're going to spend a minute on the facts. This happened. Go over what you used to think. And then go over what you think now. Just the facts. What went on in the session. What you did in the session, what you said, what your practitioner said, or if you're working on yourself, just the fact. And we're still not done. Keep going. Keep focused. Bring your mind back. Keep tapping on the gamut. And now change it to the feelings. I used to feel this. I used to react to triggers like this. I reacted to that past event like this. All those negative things. Keep thinking about the negative stuff and then tap, tap, tap. What happened? After tapping, I was feeling this. keep focusing on it, and now I feel this. And I feel this instead. Keep going, keep focusing. And in the future, I'm going to continue to feel this good thing, and I'm not going to react because of this. Keep concentrating on your feelings. And now we move, keep tapping on the gamut. And then you're going to say, I understand that I'm healed throughout all my history, throughout all my ancestral line, up and down my timeline, my core beliefs, my soul beliefs, and my cellular level, any cellular memories, my energy field, my personal matrix. I understand that this is different now. All my little selves are echoes of any of this, including the origins. I'm grateful that all of this is healed and released now. I thank all involved, including myself and the universe and God. I'm grateful for this gift of helping myself. Thank you. Keep tapping the gamut point. I'm grateful. And that's 3 minutes.
Okay. Now, good. You didn't do the little ask and receive thing.
I didn't. I didn't put it in there because I want to. I'm teaching people facts, feelings, and field.
Okay. You're saying those facts, feelings, and what's the last one?
Field. Your field.
Oh, field,
your energy field. Yeah, your morphic field, your energy field.
Okay.
Your matrix field. Now, in the field part, I put in the ask and receive.
Okay.
So it's what I want people to do is understand that it's the 3 minutes and the tapping the gamut that's important,
mm-hmm.
not what I'm saying. So
Good. I see. Actually, that didn't seem too long. It felt pretty relaxing.
Well, that's because you were doing it.
Yeah.
When you're guiding it.
Oh, yeah.
Try guiding it once.
You were kind of nodding out there. So they're not saying anything. Your client isn't saying anything.
No, what I do is, like, if I had a real thing, I would tap the gamut point. Still, what I do is, like, you know, even though I started this session being very angry at my father and never willing to forgive him, I then went through this EFT process and using matrix re-imprinting or whatever I use, you know, even hypnotherapy, if that's what you do. And I started to realize that, you know, Dad didn't mean that, even though he's still a jerk and I'm not forgiving him for this. I still understand after we did the session, you know, that, you know, he was doing the best he could, even though he could have done better. And, you know, he was just being him and he had to learn more. Okay, those are the facts. Then the feelings would be. And what I felt was that, you know, I really felt like my whole life he impacted me for everything I could do, and I never felt good enough because I always felt that he was putting me down. And now after I went through that time in this session that, you know, he took the Reese's cup out of my hand and threw it against the wall, that now I'm feeling that, you know, that he was just actually trying to help me, and even though, you know, he was a jerk and things like that, but, you know, that's what he did. He just took it out of my hand because, you know, he didn't understand that that would impact me for the rest of my life. So now I'm feeling a little different about that. I'm thinking that, you know, he was just doing the best he can, and I didn't come with an instruction booklet. So what I need to do is just, you know, after the EFT session, I realized that, you know, I don't really feel that way about him anymore. I mean, it's still too sad, and it's sad that it happened, and because I was only six. But, you know, he didn't know how to, you know, what to do and not to do. I guess he was just trying to protect me. He didn't want me to be, you know, any kind of fat cow or anything because he wanted me to be beautiful and people to accept me and all those things. And that's what I learned in the session. And then I moved to the field. And I go, and I'm understanding that, I'm healed throughout this, and I can say and there are parts of the ask and receive, there are parts of me that have been healed by this, and there are parts of me that haven't been healed. And the parts of me that haven't been healed are willing to learn from the parts that have. And my mind, body, and spirit are receiving the information now, whether I believe it or not or feel it or not, and the information transfer is complete. And I'm grateful, and thank you. Okay, so you see what I'm doing?
Yep.
So I'm reviewing the EFT session that I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go the fact, feelings, and field is an easy way to remember it.
Right.
Now, in the field part, if you want to use ask and receive, that's what I use because it works. I mean, Sandy's stuff, ask and receive, is great. So I use that. And then I throw in, like, I have, you know, I've had studies in, you know, colors and theta healing and crystals and, you know, Reiki. So all the universe is sending me wonderful feelings from in the, you know, from this thing through my head and lava coming down from Mother Earth up through my feet. Whatever you know, whatever you want to throw into those 3 minutes, this is where you use all your knowledge. Now, you with bundling baggage, you can go at anything that's anything remotely similar to this that made me feel that I wasn't good enough because of my father's, throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is that you, you know, professionally, personally know, in these 3 minutes, fill it up.
Okay.
And do whatever you need for the feel part. I just know that using the facts and the feelings really solidifies, you know, what happened, what occurred, and the changes that occurred in this session. And then for the feel part, use whatever.
Okay.
Ask and receive. I mean, ask and receive is easy because you can memorize these lines,
mm-hmm.
and they always work.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
you know, if you don't want to and you want to throw in your own stuff from Reiki or bundling baggage or, you know, whatever it else, like theta healing, which is thank you, thank you, thank you. I use some TAT stuff, TAT wording, thank you, universe,
mm-hmm.
which is from Tappas Fleming, you know, Fleming, and I'm grateful. And it's what's cool about this, as long as you're tapping for 3 minutes on the issue that you worked on is what's important. And I'm just giving you 450 ideas on what to fill it with, because you don't know how hard 3 minutes is to fill until you're guiding somebody through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, when I'm helping you through it, it doesn't feel like 3 minutes.
Right. Yeah, it didn't.
It didn't. But when you're doing it, trust me, it's like, okay, that's been 30 seconds. Now what?
Yeah, right. Okay, so that, and so people can do that for themselves, and if they have to set a timer, set a timer.
Yeah, you know what? You start learning how long 3 minutes is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would watch a clock the first few times.
Okay.
Or keep doing it until you go. Just keep doing it until that secondary, and either your shoulders will release or your back muscles will feel better, or you'll just feel, if you can. The hard part sometimes is continuing that focus for the whole 3 whole minutes on what the problem was and how it was healed.
Yeah, okay.
And you will actually feel the secondary relaxation.
Okay, so that makes sense, all of it. And I like that you went over the facts, feelings, and field again. I had thought you said fear, and so I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Oh, no.
And that makes sense of how, when you say, I didn't get it. So I'm glad you explained it again that time. That makes sense. And so we're spending an hour talking about this now, but if you condense it, it really only takes a few minutes to actually do it. And like you said, it's worth a lot. If it works, if it doesn't, you haven't lost anything.
You haven't lost anything.
And if it does work, well, then you've just saved yourself the angst of having something come back that you'd gotten rid of. And it could happen 5 years from now.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter how long. Like the woman who was an EFT practitioner, you know, she'd been doing this for 10 years, and it wasn't until she started taking the hormonal supplements that this thing started happening.
Mm. Well, was she having a brain thing going on or something?
No, she just had, I don't know what it was.
Dizzy or something like that?
She got to a certain age, and so they started giving her hormonal supplements. And so when she was in the car thinking about her clients, the converging of the lines in the road happened, and she couldn't drive. She didn't know where the street was.
Mm.
And so she really thought she was going to die.
Mm.
And all her issues came, well, whatever issues she was thinking about at the time came back. So she was really glad to hear that all she had to do was start rethinking about, you know, you have to go through the EFT thing again if this all comes back. You have to use EFT to, again, bring all the aspects down and re-clear it like we do, and then you do the 3 minutes.
Okay, good. That was a question. I was going to say, you don't just say, okay, it's come back, or it didn't work, and let's tap on the gamut. You need to tap all over again.
Yeah, you
got to
re-clear it. You got to re-clear it, which is why Carl Dawson had to re-clear Peggy before I tapped on her on the gamut point again, because she had to re-clear that situation.
Well, so it's very beneficial for the client, too, because they'd have to pay for another session to clear something they already cleared.
Exactly.
You know? Of course, the greedy practitioner is out there going, oh, well, I can make another session, but
I hope they would think that
would be horrible, because you want to get, my intention for people is to get them on their feet and out as soon as possible. I don't want to create a client for life. I want to create a
I have a really funny thing. Right? Want to hear a really funny one?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a course. And I was actually, this time I was videotaping. I wasn't teaching. And there was a hypnotherapist in the audience, and she actually raised her hand, and she was understanding what EFT is, and she actually said, so what you're saying is that in just a few sessions you can clear an issue. And the trainer answered yes. And she says, well, you're taking all my business away.
Yeah. Oh, I've had the psychologist say that. Well, you're saying that to the client every week, I'm going to have them for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they're going to be gone. And I'm going, well, yeah, isn't that great?
Well, yeah.
I was teaching a whole bunch of psychologists at a clinic one time, a rehab clinic, and they got really mad at me for saying that. They said, oh, no, it's got to take a long time. And besides, you know, you take, that's our lifeblood, you know, that's our bread and butter.
Well, let me tell you, there's enough people in the world with enough problems that we'll all be busy
for
as long as we need.
Oh, that's right. Actually, I had a close colleague that did that too, and it made me lose a lot of respect for her when she said, I don't want my clients coming to the workshops because then they'll learn how to do EFT on their own and they won't be coming to me for private sessions anymore.
Oh,
I said, OMG. That is just
surreal. Did that just come out of your mouth?
You know? I can't believe that. Well, Karen, we have about 4 minutes left, and I think you promised you were going to give us some special deal on something that you have.
Hey, if you made it to the end of this conversation with you and me, I think they deserve
it. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. All right, so if they go to tapawayyourproblems.com, that's tapawayyourproblems.com, they will see a DVD there. It's a 4-hour DVD. It's called How to Tap. Now, most of your listeners are, you know, ancient now.
They're very sharp. Sorry,
yes,
watch
they're
it.
Very sharp. So, this what I do with this is I give it to my clients who want to give it, you know, they always, I don't know if you have, if a client comes in, they're getting such good results, and they say, you know, my daughter, I really need, my daughter would just, she needs this so badly and wants to benefit from it, and there's no way to introduce it. So this is basic stuff that it's a How to Tap DVD. It's extremely basic. It teaches a little bit of matrix, something called color of pain, continuous tapping, and the principles, basic principles of EFT. And us people who know EFT can give it to those, or, you know, you can resell it for whatever, to a client so that they can give it to someone who's interested in tapping, because we really want to spread this. And what I'm going to do is give it to you for half price. So
which is how much?
Well,
tell us the retail, and we'll do the math.
I think it's 25. So it's half price of 25.
Half price is 25.
No. Half of 25.
Oh, $12.50.
Yes.
Karen,
exactly.
Did you not go to math class or something? I knew there was
retail. I follow instructions sometimes.
Okay, so it's tap away your problems.
I did exactly what you told me to.
Tap away your problems.
Tapawayyourproblems.com, and then you have to enter the code. Pro EFT. Have you ever heard of that?
Pro EFT. That's a great name. Yeah, great.
Yeah,
Pro EFT.
That all lowercase, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With no spaces. P-R-O-E-F-T. And then you will get that DVD for half price, as many as you want, of course. And Lindsay gets no money from it. No, I'm kidding.
I get no money from it. I don't want any money from it.
I would love. You know what I do with money that I make from How to Tap?
What?
DVD? Is I reinvest it into marketing so that people will know more about EFT for workshops, and including your workshops, like your abundance thing and your weight thing that you're doing, which
well,
is really great.
Great.
Because we need to get this out there.
Good.
So people can help themselves and others.
All right. We just have about a minute left. I want to say a couple things. One, Karen and I are doing workshops, not together, but tandemly, so to speak, back to back in December 2nd and 3rd. We're going to do abundance and 4th and 5th. Is that right? Second, third, fourth. Yeah, then fourth and fifth. Matrix, you can go to my website, tappingworkshops.com, and find out about that. Now, just a few seconds left. I want to thank Karen profusely for this teaching us this technique. I find it very helpful, and we need it. And so thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Lindsay.
And we will see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Much love. Bye.